Welcome to That's P1 Podcast. I'm Ryan Thomas.
And I'm Sarah.
Also Thomas. This is episode...
Maybe I want to keep some mystery here.
Ooh,
huh?
Ooh, some mystery. Ooh. Well, I should take that out of the intro then. On the description on iTunes. I'm not sure anybody reads that, but if so, we give that away. We'll change it by the time anybody listens.
Okay.
This is episode 3, reviewing the United States Grand Prix.
COTA.
Bum, 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 bum. We finally had a race at a reasonable time.
Yes. Well, for us.
True. But we.
For those of us in North America, it was a reasonable time. It was great for all of the fans. In other countries, not so great. Sorry. But not sorry.
Yeah, they get a taste of what we deal
you
with.
You get it one time versus us all dealing with it all the time. Yeah.
But cool to see. I enjoyed seeing on Twitter leading up to it how excited F1 Twitter was about COTA.
Yeah.
I was excited because it's the local race, but F1 Twitter likes this track. It would have been a real bummer if it turned out, oh wait, the track here sucks.
I feel like this race had a lot more hype leading up to it, and I don't know if it's truly was more hype and things going on, for it just felt like that because it is so close to us.
Yeah, we're 3 hours away in Dallas.
Maybe in Silverstone they are also doing things. I'm sure most places are doing things all week. We just never hear about them. Mm-hmm. But it being a home race, are we hearing more? But we both follow people on Twitter, and we don't see as much like they did leading up. So I don't know.
I think there was, because Red Bull, they had something every week. Max and Checo were touring, lots of their corporate partners doing bits.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't see that even in, I don't even think at Silverstone, they were doing lots of British things.
No, you don't.
So I think there was a bigger lead up. Now, what would be interesting is to try to go back on the archive and Twitter.
And actually look.
Or to see what it was like leading up to last USGP. Is this big lead up because Netflix is here now?
Yeah.
Because technically Netflix was around. They were just done the first season when they did the USGP last, but it wasn't big.
Yeah.
So, full disclosure, listeners, I went to this GP. We'll talk separately on a different podcast in the off season to kill time what that was like, because I think that is instructive.
What's it like to go?
What's it like to go? Because I think that's interesting. And going into the next one, a lot of people might be wondering, well, should I go? Should I not? And it's a good discussion that if you're interested, it'll be worth having, doing a separate episode. If you're not ever going to go, then you skip it and no harm done.
All right. So
on the track.
Huh?
On the track, what actually happened at this race?
Okay. Sorry. That's not what I
thought. Where were you going to go?
I thought we were going to go to like the summary. So I thought you were going to go into, all right, here's a summary. And then you said on the track. And I was like, what? We're fine. We're fine.
We're good. Just box, box, box. I was meaning two things about the actual race-related items.
Okay, to the race-related items. So let's start with just the general summary.
Which?
You have 56 seconds to do.
Because?
Because there were 56 laps in the race. And this keeps you from getting to too many details that a lot of people care about. I don't.
It's a nice constraint. And you're half the show, so... There we go.
I'm 50% of our listeners.
That's right. Yeah, you are. So to recap.
All right.
Hold on. I'm doing the entire weekend or just the race?
The entire weekend.
Okay.
In 56 seconds. I don't know what you're going to do for the other 46.
Doing the weekend will take some time. Okay.
All right. You ready? Go.
On Friday, First practice, Mercedes was mega fast. They were using a cool suspension trick that I'll talk about later in my one tech talk to add extra speed to their package. The other practice on Friday, and then the third practice on Saturday, Red Bull was fastest. Most importantly, Checo was balling out. Qualifying, everybody started on the softs to get rid of them, moved into Q2, and the Red Bulls were fast. Everyone was waiting for Hamilton and the Mercs to pick it up and do what they do and pull out pole all of a sudden. Going into Q3, same thing happened. Checo had a great first run, and he got provisional pole. Then on the second run, Lewis took pole, and then Max took pole, and then in the race, he went past Max in the first turn. I love that we joke like, oh, what else are you going to talk about? And I spend all the time on practice.
Quali. All right, so maybe we have to adjust what we do for that summer.
No, I just need to be better prepared because I was also having to think. It's fine. So the things we left out. So let's talk about the race.
Just the race itself.
Race itself.
On Sunday. Or do you want to start on?
No, let's do Sunday. Let's do Sunday.
So on Sunday.
It began and ended in the first turn.
Yeah.
Because when I rewatched it after getting home, I heard them talk about Hamilton was laying down rubber. They were, because the incline of that part of the straightaway, you really want more rubber so you don't fall back. Which is what happened to Max. He didn't have a horrible start, but Hamilton had laid down enough rubber, had the right grip, got a jump on him.
Max had a slow start.
Mm-hmm. And going into the first turn, Lewis in the second spot on the grid, P2 at this track, you're on the inside. That plus a better start means he was ahead and was able to just kind of force Max really wide off the track.
Mm-hmm.
And off he went.
Yeah. But it didn't last.
No, it didn't. And Checo, Max would have been in trouble had anybody else besides Checo been in third.
Yeah. But Checo just let him pass because that's what he was told to do.
Mm-hmm.
But if anybody else had been there, he would have been having to fight for that third.
He would have had to spend laps just getting into second while Hamilton is just like, bye.
Yeah.
But he gets in second and he chases Hamilton and he's within DRS that whole stint. He's within 1 second and just can't get past him.
Mm-hmm.
Can't get closer than 6/5 tenths.
Really? No interesting passes happened between the two of them, I feel like.
Not after the first turn.
Yeah.
Lewis had the only overtake.
Yeah, but really the only reason they changed places is because of pitting strategy. Mm-hmm. That was the only reason the two of them switched spots.
Yeah.
There was no, oh, he passed him, now he's catching up. There was none of that.
Mm-mm. It was
pitting strategy for the two of them.
And a lot of tees.
Yeah.
In the first stint, the tease was, okay, Max is really going for it, and he's within 5 tenths. Now he's within 4 tenths. And then he never got close enough to pass, and then all of a sudden they boxed him.
Mm-hmm. Which seemed premature, but then turned out okay.
It was really good, but what I would love to know is what their, and you never know, but what their original plan was. Would they still have gone that early if Max had been in front? Or would they have done what Mercedes did?
Uh-huh.
And they flipped it, but they didn't. They undercut, which is when you pit first to get past your opponent in front of you.
Yeah.
And Max got new hard tires and just was going so much faster on fresh rubber than Hamilton on the old rubber that he closed the gap enough that when Hamilton pitted, those 20 seconds he lost, Max then got ahead by 6. So the undercut took Max from half a second behind to six and change ahead. And then Hamilton hung back and just kind of waited another tease. And then they pitted Max again for another undercut. Same thing happened. Hamilton was closer behind, but then stayed behind. And then we had, you know, a very encouraging strategic message from Toto over the radio telling Hamilton, you are racing for the win, Lewis.
As if he didn't know that.
Yeah, as if he didn't already know. I'm in second place.
Is that what we're doing?
It's like Leclerc a couple races ago. Leclerc was asking, like, okay, if I make these tires last and we don't pit again, what place will we get? And he was in first place, and they said, P1. And he's like, okay. Like, what do you do? Are you checking Twitter? What are you guys doing?
We're just working. So besides just all the step-by-step things, what stands out from the race to you? Or was this a good race? Was this interesting, boring?
As a Max fan, or as someone who wants Max to win the championship, and a Red Bull fan, and someone who came in to this race expecting, as pretty much all of F1 Twitter did, for this to be a Mercedes win pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
Mercedes has won every time here in this engine era. I was on the edge of my seat in that last stint when Hamilton was really closing the gap on Max.
Those last few laps.
Because Max pitted earlier, that meant he had to make his tires last longer. So towards the end of the race, theoretically, Lewis should have better grip, which makes it to where you can pass. And the fact that Max had kept his tires to last, knew that Hamilton was going to make one big push in the last three laps, and pretty much knew it's going to be this turn, and this turn. If I defend there, I got it. And the fact that he did it, beating Lewis Hamilton, who was in a faster car, that was extremely exciting to me. But then rewatching it on TV, knowing what happens, it really isn't that exciting because nothing's happening.
Yeah.
It's a big tease.
It is.
And
I think it's interesting if you look at it from the perspective of you're going to watch two really good drivers race good solid races. Not much happens. It really comes all down to pitting strategy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a good solid race, and it keeps the momentum and interest up for the next one and the next one. Like, it makes the whole overall season interesting. But for the race itself, it was a little, I mean, not much happened. So
that's a good point. And I think the way to judge and decide, okay, what is a good, exciting race is if someone came up to you and said, hey, I'm getting it F1. I want to watch a race from this season to get excited.
Yeah, I don't think I would
suggest I wouldn't show this them one. This one. I got to think about what I would show them. I'd probably show them France. That had really good overtakes, and Red Bull overtook both Mercedes. But you got to have overtakes. You got to have stuff happening. Like you said, pit passes.
It's not that interesting.
Mm-mm.
And I think there was a lot of buildup going into this one because of the overall championship rankings. And I think because Max won and they're still so close, it really is anybody, either of them, not anybody, is either of them could end up winning at the end of the season still. So it makes each race really exciting. But it also doesn't have to be in a good race to be an exciting race.
Ooh, well said.
So I think a lot of more of the more interesting things are happening lower down the field. The midfield
had a lot of stuff happening.
A little bit more overtakes and pushing to get each spot, but I mean, you know.
It was fine.
It was an exciting race, though, because of you could tell the event was exciting.
400,000 people in a weekend, which beat the record that Silverstone set back in July of the biggest weekend of Formula One.
Mm-hmm.
And for that to happen in the U.S., which just realized Formula One is a thing,
mm-hmm.
is impressive.
It's huge.
And to see that on TV and to hear even British guys who call every race saying, this is nuts.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of made me feel proud of American sports fans. Like, okay, when we discover something, we show up. That's so American. You guys have had this forever. You've been excited about it forever. We've had access to it forever, but now that it's bingeable and it's on Netflix, oh, we're huge fans.
Yes. But that's fun.
It was cool.
It was. All right, what else was interesting from the items of note, things to watch, what?
Checo
had a lot going on this week, or last week.
But if you look at his timetable, it looks like he didn't really do anything.
I feel like he ran a solid race, he drove a solid race by himself. He got to third pretty quickly, and there was a big gap between him and Leclerc. Like, there was never any doubt which spot he was going to be in. But he was really far back from Max and Lewis.
Yeah.
There was a good gap. He was kind of doing his own thing.
Mm-hmm.
But now we know why.
Well, we were wondering, because
in practice, he
almost had pole.
Yeah.
So we know, okay, that means on one lap you can go really fast. He and Max
kept just beating each other's time in practice.
And then in practice, he had really good, consistent time. And so on one tire,
he was doing great.
If you go 10 laps on that tire, how are you doing? He was still putting in great times.
Yeah.
So we knew he had race pace.
Yeah.
But then the race comes, and he didn't really do anything.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And we go to find out, his water had a leak or what was it?
They get a little cagey about exactly what happened. One, it's embarrassing. And two,
but somehow, from the first lap on, he had no water to drink. So he was doing that almost 2-hour race in extremely hot temperatures without any water. It's a miracle he didn't pass out.
Or quit,
yeah.
The track was 109 degrees on the pavement.
He said his feet were like on fire, it felt like.
Mazepin was complaining about his feet being burning.
Yeah. So, I mean, and after the race, Checo was saying that was the most physical, grueling race I've ever done.
And he needed to hydrate because that morning he'd had an illness.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Was he dehydrated? Was that his illness?
No. He wasn't dehydrated. Maybe he'd had some bad tacos.
Oh.
But he hadn't had a fun morning.
Oh.
And then you
Poor
have this happen. Just a bad day. But to tough it out and to not slip down the order.
To still get.
Again, it's been years since a second Red Bull could just keep a podium.
Yeah.
He stuck it where he needed to in third, and he mm-hmm. kept it there. Would have been great for him to get a 1-2, but he did his job.
Yes.
And that's what
he
they
definitely
needed.
Did his job.
And that was massive.
What else?
Let's see. What else stuck out?
Mazepin kept getting in everybody's way.
Yeah. He is not a
blocking
fun back
people.
Marker.
No. I thought they were finally going to make him quit. Because he finally got the black and white flag as a warning of, this is your last warning. If you don't move out of the way, you're off. But I thought he was just going to be like, eh.
Whatever.
He just didn't care.
No, and that last couple laps when Lewis was chasing Max, then Mick Schumacher wouldn't get out of the way.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's when Max got on the radio to his engineer, GP, and said, "You know, hey, will you tell this Haas to get out of the way? Will you get on the phone to Michael?" And they clarified he didn't mean Michael Schumacher's dad. They meant Michael Massey, the race director. Mm-hmm. Basically, tell the principal to tell that kid to get out of my way.
Yeah.
Because he's going to lose me this race. And Christian Horner said after the race that once Max defended the corners, they weren't as worried, except then he was coming up into that traffic and Mick wouldn't get out of the way. And Christian really thought he was going to lose that race for Max.
Oh, man.
That would have been a heck of a way to lose. Oof. But I've heard people say it's harder to be a backmarker than you think, because those guys at every other level have been the passer. And it's hard to know where to get out of the way, because you have to get off the racing line, but you can't just go pull your car into gravel.
Mm-hmm.
And then you don't want to get hit. You got to do it safe. There's apparently an art to it.
I believe it. But these guys are back there long enough, they should.
Yeah, they've had a little bit of practice.
Yeah.
It's not as if he's never been at the back in Formula One. Yeah.
That's kind of all they do.
Yeah. Haas has some trouble.
A lot of trouble.
A lot of trouble. Overall, let's see what else. It's a really fun track to look at.
Mm-hmm.
The S's are really cool. Lots of high speed. Not a lot of elevation change except for that first...
That first big one.
That first corner. It goes up 110 feet.
Mm-hmm.
It just is a good looking track on TV. It's a fun one to watch. Which, again, makes me feel good for the United States. And Texas. They're moving away from country names and a lot of GPs, like this week is the Mexico City Grand Prix, not the Mexican Grand Prix. So I'm hoping they do that. I'm hoping they do that to the US, because I'd like this to be the Lone Star Grand Prix or something. I think that'd be kind of fun.
Okay. Like the beer.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. I didn't even think about the beer. I just was thinking Texas.
I'd rather just be like the Austin race, but yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. That'll work.
It's already called COTA, which is a dumb name, I think. But
it rolls off the tongue a lot better than Circuit of the Americas.
That's what I think. Circuit of the Americas is really dumb. Because you made Americas plural, so that obviously means North and South America. And
you're saying this is the one track?
Really? Come on.
This is the only one. There's not another racetrack in all the Americas.
Talk about arrogance here, but...
It's American way.
That's how we do it. But, so... The race itself, not that interesting, but like we talked earlier, there was so much leading up to it that was interesting. Tons of fun Austin things. Checo, he's called this his second home race for a long time. So this was a huge home race for him. Giant fan base for him here. So it was really exciting how much fun everybody was having for Checo. And how much Red Bull leans into it.
Mm-hmm.
So they had some fun social media posts and things like that to share. And that was fun.
It's really cool.
Can I say fun again?
Yeah, maybe. And it was really cool to see them support their second guy. Mm-hmm. Because it can be... Part of it maybe because the other guys haven't done as well. But with Albon and with Pierre, you didn't have as many of those because maybe they weren't doing as well. Maybe they didn't have a whole country behind them because they were other.
Maybe they were still young enough that they
didn't have a following.
Didn't have time to get fans.
Mm-hmm.
Checo's been around enough that he has his own fans.
Mm-hmm. But it's cool to see them do stuff that was not Max centric,
mm-hmm.
and not just a token one, but lots.
Yeah,
Max was around.
But it was all about Checo.
And this week is going to be all about Checo. So it's cool to see him get the limelight.
It was kind of, I'm trying to think of a fun analogy or comparison to use. Where it's like Max is the super smart, I'm going to win this person. But Checo is Mr. Popularity. So he was walking around with Max almost like a, all right, you're going to accept him because you're friends with me. And I'm telling you, he's cool.
Yeah. He was the guy vouching for Max.
Yeah.
And everywhere.
Max doesn't care at all because he's like, I win.
It's what I will break you.
He's not being rude. He's being
Yeah, he's not being rude. He's just being Dutch. If you watch Ted Lasso, you get it. It's great. It's a perfect analogy. But it was really cool to see that. And it was cool to see him qualify well, because that has always been his issue.
Mm-hmm. And he did great.
And he had qualified pretty well a couple times. So if he can start nailing that.
Yeah.
Then that can really bode well for him, because he's already had his most successful season of his career. And if he can lap himself almost, mm-hmm. that would be phenomenal.
Yeah. I feel like there's a big spotlight on him going into the Mexico race, mm-hmm. because that is his actual home race. And he did so well last week, and he already had a big pressure and light on him. So I think there's a huge spotlight on him this week of how are you going to do? And it's a big one, because the championship isn't decided.
No, it's not even close.
Yeah. It's not going to be a, oh, well, someone just has to win to get a few points. It's nope. It really can go. So
this whole thing matters. And there have been so many times where the Mexican Grand Prix and even the USGP has been the just get enough points to clinch it, and then you get to do donuts.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of fun.
It's really cool. And normally we'd say it's a Red Bull track, because they have done extremely well this entire engine era. But we also know that Mercedes had done well at COTA all the time. So
I feel like the tracks haven't always been accurate this season.
As a Red Bull supporter who wants someone else to win the championship besides Merck, I will say I'm hoping. And the reason I sort of have hope is that it seems like people who know engines and stuff have said that one of the reasons that it works so well at this track is altitude, similar mm-hmm. to the altitude that is at the Red Bull Ring in Austria. And the way their turbo is created is more efficient with less air. So because there's less air density at altitude, the Mercedes turbo has to work harder to create the boost that it needs, which means it can't work as hard and be as efficient, and it's not as powerful. Air density hasn't changed.
Okay.
So I'm hoping that can hold up and this can really be a Red Bull track. Because if so, then Brazil is the same way.
Okay.
So
that'll be.
It's possible that this could be, the U.S. could have been the first of three in a row.
I don't want it to be three in a row, though.
Yeah, but then we go into some that will be Mercedes tracks.
I know. I would just be, to me, it's more interesting if one of them doesn't start running away with it.
Yeah. As long as somebody doesn't DNF, it'll come down to at least the last two races.
Which then leads to the big quote yesterday, right?
What was the big quote?
Well, let me find it. About coming down to the final race.
From Toto,
yeah.
Which,
I'm gonna.
It seems like every other day, early in the season, it was every other week, he or Christian were saying the quote that got Twitter riled up. Now it's every other day, it's one of them doing it. It's really accelerated and compound interest.
Yeah. All right, so here's his quote. If it was to come to the scenario of the last race in Abu Dhabi, and they were to be racing each other for the title, whoever is in front on points is absolutely going to try to do the same as in the Senna Prost?
I think it's Prost.
Prost? Prost?
I think Prost.
That years.
But I'm not a doctor. I just play one on TV.
I don't know.
But I do get his reference, though, at least.
Well, I don't know that reference.
So he's referring to, and I don't remember the year, so I'm just going to do an old man back in the day. Senna or Prost, I think it was Senna, was ahead of Prost in points going into the last race of the season, but behind Prost on track. So Senna just crashed into him and took them both out of the race. Because
so neither of them could get the points.
And if none of us get points, I'm ahead. No more races. Yay, championship.
Ah.
And that is something that you really can't get away. Or you can't get away from. You can't stop somebody from doing that. And you can't say, well, your intent was to do this. Mm-hmm. So we're going to award points.
Yeah.
It'll hurt your image.
I feel like the fans would be really upset.
Mm-hmm. But
then, I mean, they can't do anything about it, but
in figure skating, you've got the issues of subjective scores with judges.
Mm-hmm.
In lots of other sports, it's very empirical. It's time versus time or points versus points. And this is like a hybrid. You've got points, but then you also have ways to kneecap your opponent. And like that was on purpose.
Yeah.
It'd be like in football if you could just suddenly take out the entire other team and be like, yeah, there was a whole half to play, but we're ahead, and now you can't play anymore, so we win. Thanks.
Yeah. But why do you think he said that? I feel like at this point he's just trying to poke at or...
So the angel on my shoulder says he's saying that because he just is into racing and is referring to that and kind of saying, yeah, that could happen, but it probably won't.
Mm-hmm.
The devil on my shoulder
threat
thinks it's either a threat or he's taking the Twitter versus temperature by tossing that out there. And if the reaction isn't horrible, he's like, okay, that's a viable option, guys.
Well, if he did that, he discovered very quickly that it's not an option.
No, not if he's taking a vote.
Yeah. Twitter got very angry.
As they should. This has been the best championship season. Lots of people have seen, even people who watched it, you know, much longer than you and I have, which is more than a year. For that to end like that,
it's a big disappointment.
Yeah. Netflix would be pissed. But
yeah,
I don't think it'll come down to that.
I don't think so. I thought it was an interesting quote, though,
mm-hmm.
that he even brought it up. Why did you even bring it up?
Because it sounded unprompted. It didn't sound like they asked him.
I also couldn't find any context to the quote.
Yeah, I guess that's right. All I read was about the quote.
All they had was the quote. I'm like, but what was the rest of the context?
We need to learn German. So often those guys speak to the German magazines.
Oh, okay. Let me add that to my to-do list.
Yeah, just knock that out this week if you can.
Sure.
But that would be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think the pressure is on them, Mercedes, because not just because Red Bull is ahead currently, or Max is ahead. They're still ahead. Mercedes is in the Constructors' Championship. But they could have made different strategic decisions in this race and probably won it.
Mm-hmm. I think that's true in a couple of races, actually, right?
I think they aren't used to having to think this much this long. Whereas Red Bull has always been playing with less.
Mm-hmm.
So they're used to being aggressive on track, being more nimble, trying something. And I think that has caught Mercedes out a few times.
Yeah, they've had to learn.
Mm-hmm. And they'll figure it out. I agree with you. If this doesn't go down to Abu Dhabi, I'll be surprised. The last race of the year. I really think we'll be going into mid-December watching a race where Hamilton has to finish at a certain point or Max has to finish at a certain spot in order to win.
Man.
That'll be crazy.
It's going to be interesting. You know what else will be interesting is when we watch Drive to Survive and Max is not included.
Hmm.
I mean, he'll be there, but there's not going to be any
but he's the race
confessionals
champion.
Talking with him. Like, there'll be people talking about him, but he won't be there.
He said that he gets why it is necessary,
mm-hmm.
but he doesn't like how they misconstrue and make up fake things and take things out of context.
Yeah.
And
which, you know, welcome to
reality. He's probably never watched The Bachelor. So he probably doesn't know that that's standard fare and what Netflix does is really not that drastic.
Yeah. Or any of these shows. That's what happened. So what did you expect?
And I think he's got a point because it's an interesting enough sport. The people are interesting enough as they are that you don't really need to make things up. And last year, or last season, so season 3, they completely made up a rivalry between Lando mm-hmm. Norris and Carlos Sainz.
Which was unneeded or unnecessary. I don't know why they...
I think that's more drama than just, hey, is it kind of awkward that he's going to be leaving the team and going to a competitor? Yeah, it will be kind of awkward. It's a little uncomfortable. Well, that doesn't play the same as drama.
Yeah. Let's make it look like there was a lot of bad blood. And
in a world.
I mean, come on. There's enough real bad blood between Max and Lewis that you don't have to make it up. You don't have to play it up. Just show the two of them.
And it'll be fine.
Yeah.
So I agree with Max, and I think he is a big enough voice in F1 that him saying that could actually get Netflix to change their ways. I mean, that kind of thing yeah. is the only way they're going to change. They're not going to decide on their own, we should do less manufactured drama.
I always found it interesting how little time, though, Netflix gave Lewis.
Yeah.
They're
not around. They're not with him that much.
Yeah. Especially compared to the other drivers. And they spent a lot of time with Toto.
Mm-hmm. They did.
But they hardly gave Lewis any time. He'd be there just a little bit to give a few quotes and then that's it.
Yeah, and there's a little time where he's with Angela in the car, but it really is most... Yeah, I hadn't thought about that.
Mm-hmm. So I'm like, well, Max, we don't need you.
No, we don't at all. It's helpful, especially this season as a champion rival, but...
I could also understand if Max was like, I don't want to talk to anybody about what's going on because it's been some shady stuff between the two of them, and yeah, I don't really want to have to answer questions about that, so I'm just not gonna be involved.
Because he is smart. Because
no one can ask me about this crash or this or what happened here. It's like, nope.
Which means I'd have to give an answer,
mm-hmm.
which that answer would live forever.
Mm-hmm.
He's smart enough to know that stuff lives forever.
So I just won't be a part of it.
I won't say anything.
I'm good.
Yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, I think he just doesn't want to have to give answers about some of his, what's gone on.
Hard to blame him.
Oh, yeah, but.
Wow. Yeah. This will be the most anticipated season Drive to Survive.
It will be.
And I'm here for it.
Yeah.
But.
So.
This week, Mexico.
Yay.
I'm excited. I'm hoping, I just want Checo to do well. Mm-hmm. I want Red Bull to do well because I want them to win the championship. And I think this is their last chance to make hay. And then you hold on after Brazil and hope you did enough before then.
Mm. Okay.
And it's a cool track. The only thing I'll say about it is they literally blew up half a stadium. I can't remember if it's a baseball stadium or a soccer stadium to build a track through. And so,
oh wow.
There's one part where they're going through a slow series of turns and there are stands on both sides.
Okay.
That's pretty fun. It's pretty cool. And every time, because I watched an old one, Checo comes around into that section, people just go nuts.
Aww.
So that's really fun. Cool. Anytime somebody has a home race, yes, I love Checo. Yes, I've got a sweatshirt. But anytime somebody has a home race, that's just cool to see.
Yeah. You can tell it's always just so exciting for them.
In a year, I'll be excited and about the Canadian Grand Prix when Lance Stroll and Nicholas Latifi can go home.
Okay.
It'll be cool to get to have people excited for them.
Except no one will be excited about Lance Stroll.
Yeah, no, there will be a lot of people excited about Lance Stroll. All of them will have been paid by Lawrence Stroll to be excited about it.
I was waiting like, there has to be.
There will be a lot of people who will be raving about Lance and going nuts.
Those same people that are paid
as they check their Venmo to make sure that
at parties.
Yeah, there'll be woo girls and pass. You know, the same girls who pass out the test tube shots.
Yeah,
but
Lance thinks the Hooters waitresses really do like him that much.
He totally has the vibe. You did. But he totally has the vibe of somebody who thinks that the Hooters girls like him. He totally has that vibe and that look. That's hilarious. You're totally right.
Sorry.
That,
if you like him, I'm sorry. That's mean. I'm sure he's a nice person.
I think he's a nice person. I think he has a douche look. And he's not very interesting as a driver.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm here for you to either be funny, heartwarming, or awesome on track. Womp womp.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Mexico's going to be great. We're just going to say that. We're going to wish it into existence. It'll be interesting to see how the standings are after this.
Mm-hmm.
Go Checo.
Yay, Checo.
It'll be interesting to see how many people listening to this podcast ended up watching Mexico after hearing about buzz from US. So, who knows?
It'll be fun.
It's going to be a great close of the season. There was too many Danny Rick moments.
Oh my goodness.
To narrow down, so we're just not going to do that.
He freaking loves Austin.
I will say my favorite.
Guy goes crazy in this city, so.
Just say your favorite. We don't have to find it on Twitter, but did you have a favorite moment?
Yeah. It's when they were all getting, I don't know what it's called, when all the drivers are coming up to say hi and wave at everybody.
The driver parade.
Yeah. So he comes up and he looks some ridiculous Texas get up.
He's in a UT basketball jersey.
And there's a pause and you see Lewis turn back and look at him like, what the f- is- okay. And it's just so funny. And you know, Danny doesn't care. He's like, ha ha!
This is great.
But it's just so funny of everybody's reactions to him of, what is this guy doing?
What are you doing? And I don't remember if there, but that may have been where he talked in Texan.
Oh, no.
Oh, did you see that?
I'm sure I did. I just...
He talked about like, y'all, so many, and he put on American accent. He's like, oh, we're just going to race really hard, y'all, and it's hot out here, and we're fixing to go do...
It. Oh, he said fixing?
It was awesome. It's so well done.
I mean, good for him for knowing that, but...
My favorite moment was after the race, after they cross checkered, they get the checkered flag, they cross the line, they've got to go back around to get back to the pits, and everybody drives slow and waves to people. He wasn't waving to people like normal. He was holding up horns up, the UT symbol, the entire lap. And just driving with one hand and doing horns up and just completely playing to the Texas crowd. Because that's not even an American thing.
Yeah, that's just a...
That's straight Texas.
Well, in Austin.
Mm-hmm. Where we were.
Yeah, I mean, you can't do that in other parts of the state without getting in trouble.
Yeah, there will always be somebody who's like, oh, I'm an Aggie fan or I like this other team. But in Austin,
it is
that's what
right
you
do. There, yeah. So he is the hype man.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the hype man for the USGP. That's all they need.
Yeah, they just need him. He spent Halloween with Dax Shepard.
Oh, that's awesome.
They posted Halloween pictures and he was there. I'm like, oh, that's so funny.
He's an American. We'll adopt him. We'd be better to add him to our collection of famous people who live here.
Mm-hmm. He's fun. So, any last minute, last thoughts about the race?
Nope. USGP was great.
We'll have another episode about what it's like to go to the race.
Which many of you might find more interesting than this episode and the actual race.
I mean...
probably. But that's okay. That's fine. Not everyone can be a banger.
I don't think that means what you think it means.
Oh, I'm... uh-oh. I may have made a huge mistake.
Let's talk.
After I play the outro music, I'm going to get something explained to me and wish I knew how to edit a podcast.
Woohoo!
But thanks for listening to the That's B1 podcast.
That's it.
That's it. We're going to work on a sign-off at some point.
That's checkered flag.
That's checkered flag! We got it.